Welcome into another episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast. This time we have an exclusive interview with Bengals head coach Zach Taylor, who took some time at the combine to catch up with me. We talked about free agency, the season, and what the next couple of months are going to look like for him and the Bengals franchise in particular. And here is my conversation with the Bengals head coach. All right, Zach, tell us a little bit about what the last 2 weeks have been like for you following getting home from LA and then quickly with the combine and free agency quickly approaching.
You know, the game ended. We had some housekeeping things you got to clean up and dismiss the players, and then had a couple of coaches we had to hire. Mm-hmm. And so it's better to do that sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
If you wait, some of the guys you want are going to be gone. Mm-hmm. So we always make sure we address that promptly, and then took a week of vacation, went down to Florida with my wife, came back, Friday, February something. And then here we are at the combine. So, it's been a quick process since the game ended. Mm-hmm. Now we're back into the scouting portion of things, which I'm excited about. I like this part of it. So it's just playing catch up to Duke and his staff, and they've done a great job trying to get us up to speed.
So you mentioned the coaches, and I was actually going to ask you about that. So I'm glad you brought them up. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the coaches that you hired?
Sure. So I'll start on offense. We hired Derek Frazier. He's an assistant offensive line coach, mm-hmm. which Ben Martin also has that title. So Derek has worked with Frank Pollock. They go way back, and they were at the Jets a couple years ago. Okay. He was most recently at Wyoming as the offensive line coach. And so, you know, he had a desire to get back into the NFL. He'd worked with Frank. We thought it was a good fit. Added him. Al Golden took a great opportunity to go be the D coordinator at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. That's a hard one to pass up. Mm-hmm. And so good opportunity for him. So we hired James Betcher from the 49ers. James has been a coordinator in this league for a long time, done a great job. He and Lou worked together at the Giants. So Lou knew him very closely. I've crossed paths with him over the years. Mm-hmm. Always liked Betch. So we felt like that was a great addition to our staff as well. And then the last one we hired was Charles Brooks. He goes mm-hmm. by Chuck mm-hmm. Brooks from the Dolphins.
That's
we
quite
played Miami the last couple years. And Miami's always done a great job with their corners. And so Chuck was a big part of that. He's a young coach. He's in his early 30s and had a great history developing players over Texas and Oklahoma at some of the smaller schools there. Actually lived in the same hometown as my grandmother, lived wow. in Ada, Oklahoma for a couple of years. So when we went through the interview process, we knew some of the same people, and he's a really tremendous up-and-coming coach, and he'll be a big part of our staff.
For the most part, though, you've been able to keep your staff intact. Oh. How much easier and how much more comfortable are you going to be in? Do you think that's a benefit that people might not realize, having this cohesive staff back for another year altogether?
I think so. It is good when you have that chemistry that just hits the ground running, yeah. you know, and even when you add guys like Betch, who's worked with Lou, they've worked hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And that would be like me and Callahan reuniting 6 years down yeah. the road or something like that, you mm-hmm. know, where you've already worked and mm-hmm. familiar with the guy, and he can jump right in and understands the scheme. So that's a good thing on defense. Chuck will do a great job with those corners. And then Derek Frazier obviously has worked with Frank before. So they've got a relationship there, and Derek will fit right in. So I think that is understated sometimes that we have most of mm-hmm. the staff coming back. That is a big deal. The players know what to expect from these guys, and we get a chance to build on the things we've already done.
So I want to go to free agency next. I asked Duke, and I thought his answer was interesting, about there's oftentimes a narrative, and I know you guys keep your heads down and don't really listen to the outside narratives, but sometimes there's a narrative that in free agency, the money spent isn't always, you don't get the same return on investment. But you guys kind of were able to rewrite that narrative last year with the production you got from your free agent. So I just wanted to ask you specifically about a couple of them. Now that you've had a chance to rewatch everything in the season, do your recap, can you kind of put into perspective just the importance and play and how it elevated the whole group of Trey, Mike, Larry, specifically on defense?
Absolutely. You know, those guys are about the right things. They loved the process. Mm-hmm. They embraced the grind. Mm-hmm. They were really good teammates. And so you look at, you know, just starting up front, the impact Trey Hendrickson had playing opposite of Sam Hubbard. Mm-hmm. I think that they really are a nice 1-2 punch with each other. And then you move inside to Larry was the free agent this year, and BJ Hill even, yeah. you know, we got him through trade. And just the impact those two guys had in conjunction with DJ and Josh Tupo over the course of the season was tremendous. Mm-hmm. You know, and it really served us well in that playoff run, having a front that could play like those guys did with guys that were here before and guys that we added to the mix. That was tremendous. And then, you know, at the second level, you got Mike Hilton and Chido Bayawuzie, and what they did for us and how consistent they were game in, game out. And again, those are two pros that they playing at a high level is important to them. Practicing at a high level is important to them. And that was critical for us to get out of our defense this year. And they really helped set the standard on what we expect from that group.
We ask you so much during the week when you're facing an opposing pass rusher who's really good. I felt like it was like every week we were thinking, you know, what do you think of Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, Aaron Donald? And somehow Trey Hendrickson seems to always be a name that never gets mentioned. From your perspective as an offensive coach, if you had a game plan for Trey Hendrickson, what would you start with? What, from your perspective?
No, I'm not giving you that. You will
what
say
do you think
it's,
he does
usually,
exceptionally well? We never ask you about him.
He's relentless, you know, and so you're just going to get the same energy snap in and snap out. And that's not the case from every player in this league. Mm-hmm. Some guys know when to turn it on and turn it off. And Trey's just so consistent that the second he lulls you to sleep a little bit, you know, he's going to get that production. And maybe the media doesn't talk about him as much, but I promise you the opposing team's coaches do. And he's always a guy post game where, man, I've always had so much respect for that guy. And we were concerned about him and in conjunction with Sam Hubbard. And so he's well respected throughout the league amongst the coaches and the players. And hopefully he'll get the attention that he deserves from the media as well.
You mentioned Chido, and I wanted to ask you a little bit about your corner situation. What did you think of the play from you got from Chido and then Eli Apple, and what do you think about the depth that you have at the cornerback position right now?
Yeah, I think that Chido was extremely consistent, you know, and you hate to use the word, he was a surprise, because we signed him for a reason. We had a lot of respect for him. But I think just the professionalism he brought, that was an area we wouldn't have known about. Mm-hmm. And man, he was the MVP at the training camp, really. Mm-hmm. Earned a ton of respect from the coaches and the teammates right away. Yeah. And really had a great season for us. And Eli the same. You know, Eli came in there and, you know, he's been on a couple different teams over the years, but he had a relationship with Lou. He knew the scheme. He did a great job for us filling into that number two role. And we got really good football out of Eli. And so proud of the job he did. You know, we really wouldn't have been where we were without those two guys, because we faced so many tremendous receivers. They had, you know, you mentioned those pass rushers, those DBs, they had to face off against the Tyreek Hills and the Cooper Kupps and Devontae Adams and all these guys they faced. And I really was proud of the job that they did.
When you look at the season as a whole, now that as a coach, when you've only got 2 weeks, and I know every week you guys go through an evaluation process. Do you take the time and watch, you know, all of the games at one? Because I was going to ask you, did you think there was a game that comes to mind where you felt like things really started to take shape and that maybe that was the game where you look back now and you say, I think that was the moment that things really started to come together for us?
You could point to a lot of areas over the course of the season. Mm-hmm. What the Jacksonville game did for us, it was the first time we really came from behind. It was a disappointing loss, but going toe-to-toe with Green Bay, a team who year in and year out had been there at the top, defeating Pittsburgh and Baltimore early in the season, was enough, you know, to kind of show us, okay, this is your teams we've struggled with, but here we are, we're winning these games now. And then coming back from the bye and playing the Raiders, and even the stretch of wins and losses we had after the bye, we really did take something from all those games that I promise you we came back to at the end of the season and in the playoffs that helped fuel us for the rest of the season. So we may not have won them all. I never would say this at the time, and I probably don't say it now. You're not happy you lost those games, but in a lot of ways, those probably did serve us well in the playoffs and those experiences we had to learn from.
I asked you about all the defensive free agents, so I'm going to go back to the offensive free agents.
Yeah.
Riley Reiff is a player who, when you're looking at the list of players scheduled to become a free agent, one of the key starters. What did you think of Riley Reiff's first year before he was able before he got hurt?
You know, Riley, not only is he a really good football player that helped us on the field, but what he does off the field probably goes unnoticed to most, but not to us. Mm-hmm. Just how he helped drive that culture in that O-line room, which is so critical. You know, a lot of these great offensive lines have great culture. And Frank has really worked at that, and there's some key pieces in there. And Riley's really the guy with the most experience that came in there and told all those young guys how it needs to be done. And That's what time you're in the weight room. That's lifting together. That's eating together. That's spending time together. That's important for an OI room. And really, really thought that Riley did a great job, you know, driving that home for us.
And then CJ Uzama, obviously. Yeah. I don't think I even need to ask you what he means to the team. But another player where I didn't even realize, Duke pointed out to me, CJ wasn't even here at the combine. He didn't even get a scouting combine invite. Yeah. And you look at now his what he's been able to do for you guys. Yeah. Can you put into words what CJ meant to what you guys were able to do this season?
I don't know that I really can. He just does so much for us. He's such a smart player. Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys. You know, I've talked to James Casey about this, but when I go to my son's 11-year-old basketball game, when he falls down on the court, you either be dead or you get up within a second. There's no in between. And so I remember James Casey's son said when they saw CJ go down in that AFC championship game, he stayed down. Yeah. They knew he was really hurt, you know, and because that's just the type of guy he is. Mm-hmm. He's going to fight through everything unless he just physically absolutely cannot do it. And that's our definition of a Bengal, mm-hmm. a physical, hungry, accountable teammate who's going to do everything they can to get the job done. And CJ is that to a T. So many times, you know, he can play a lot of different positions. I know that sounds funny, but we ask our tight ends to do a lot. Mm-hmm. And because he and Drew are so smart, oftentimes we call a play the way it's not meant to be called because I know that those two guys are going to sort it out. And so he just served a great role for us. And we certainly want him to be a part of this thing going forward.
I know you don't like to single players out, so you might not have an answer for it, but just curious to ask, when you watch the whole season, I know you have high expectations for all your players, mm-hmm. but was there one player in particular who really maybe stood out to you that you didn't know what you were going to get or exceeded expectations? I'll put it in context. After the Super Bowl, I asked Logan Wilson what he learned about himself this year, and he said that he could play at this level, and that kind of mm-hmm. shocked me because I wondered, how did he ever have a doubt because of how well he played? So are there any other players like Logan or anyone that you thought really had a great season that maybe the fans didn't get to see based off what you saw with film and everything?
You know, I think I could say this about so many. We played the Super Bowl for a reason because all of our players fit that description of what you're saying. I think Jermaine Pratt has really taken giant steps forward every single year. Mm-hmm. And what people don't realize is just how smart of a football player he is and mm-hmm. how he can key and diagnose things so quickly. And so he and Logan are really good compliments to each other and to that defensive line and to those safeties behind him. And so I could say what I'm saying about Jermaine, about a lot of guys, mm-hmm. and I probably should. Mm-hmm. But I think he's one that the team really respects. The coaches really respect. He probably doesn't get all the credit some other people do. But his role is been incredibly valuable for us.
When you look at it, it's been a while since we've asked you about it, but Joseph Osai is a player that I'm sure we talked a lot about this offseason because of the preseason he had. Mm-hmm. When you saw he was going to miss the end of the season, just how much are you looking forward to adding him to the group that you've spoken so highly about with that pass rushing group?
Well, I think that's a great benefit for us is he flashed the way he did in training camp. Mm-hmm. You know, it's obviously a short window there that we saw. And so we're planning on him being consistent and getting back to the form that he showed in training camp. But he's already on our roster, which is a good thing. You don't have to go out and maybe sign Joseph Osai or draft Joseph Osai. We got one that we think is young and has a lot of potential. And now we'll continue to see how he grows into that potential. But certainly excited about his future and adding him to that group that we already have is going to be a big plus for us.
I want to ask you about the draft because I know you're probably very much in the beginning of mm-hmm. it, right? So sticking on free agency, Duke said something I thought was interesting is you look at the cap situation and from the outside, it looks like the Bengals have a lot of money. And the first assumption is always, who are they going to spend outside of the building? And he talked about just the importance of re-signing some of the guys that you have in the building. How do you balance that? How far ahead do you have to look? How does that work behind the scenes of knowing, hey, these guys are coming up, we want them, but we also have some of these holes that we need to fill?
Yeah. Well, it's there's a lot that goes into it, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that's where everybody in the organization really steps up and you see their best, you know, whether it's Duke or whether it's Kenny Blackburn and Troy Blackburn as they manage the cap. And, you know, so you've always seen the Bengals really be in a good position there and never get stuck in a tough spot. And we take a lot of pride in that. Putting a great team on the field and also being responsible in that area as well. And certainly we've got our own guys that need attention quickly because they were a big part of what we did. And so we got to go through that process of seeing where we're at with them and where they're at with us. And then you jump into free agency, the guys that are on our team and how it fits. Mm-hmm. And again, you got to, it's easy to say, yeah, we're going to go fix this position on offense or defense, whatever it is. Well, the guys got to be out there that are a fit, you know, and you got to learn about them as a person, see where they're at as a player, and see how well that fits for you. And you got to make really responsible decisions that way and then balance the draft with that. And so, that's just part of the process every team goes through. It's one of the fun parts of being in the position we're in. We do feel like we have a really good roster and we have a chance to continue to grow on the foundation that we've already created.
Is the, Jeff Ruby's dinner going to become an annual thing in free agency?
That thing's a little bit of a fly by the seat of your pants situation. You know, it's sometimes you get a guy to come in, you don't know who's going to come in and where. And so you guys got to be ready at the drop of a hat to get that text and say, hey, you want to come join us? And when they do, it's great. So, you know, those are certainly fun moments, especially when they turn out the way that we always hope they will, which they did last year. And hopefully we have some more of those.
Well, since we're at the combine, I'll wrap it up with this. How different is this process? And I know it just started, so the meetings are just getting started. But when you're going from picking at number 5 to 31, is it the same amount of players you guys interview and meet with? Is it less? What's the biggest difference between where you're picking now and where you were centric to the combine?
Sure. Well, everybody at the combine gets 45 formals. And okay. So we take advantage of all 45. And it's not, you know, I look back to 2 years ago when we took Burrow at number 1 and T at 33, now we're picking at 31. And so you just wipe that number 1 pick off the board where we knew, you know, days and weeks in advance who we were taking, and we were focused on that 33rd pick. Mm-hmm. It feels very similar to what that'll be. You got this big pool of players, and then you go from there. But that's where Duke's experience really kicks in. He's been doing this for so long. He's seen every situation. He knows which conversations to talk through days and weeks in advance of the draft, so we're not having them while we're on the clock, you know, and the pressure's really starting to pack up. So Duke's done a great job guiding all of us through this process and helping us land on really sound decisions, and I anticipate that'll be the same this year.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us on Bengals Beat Podcast, Zach.
Yeah, thank you, Kelsey.